New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the House of L podcast. Boy, do I have a treat for you today. Herb Lawrence is here. I called Herbie and I was like, look, these Bears thoughts, we got to get them from you because you've been doing all the White Sox stuff. I wanted to give you a platform to do some Bears stuff. So we welcome our guy Herbie to the podcast. Sir, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me again, Lawrence. It's always appreciated. Always good to be speaking with you. And oh, man, as you said, I've been doing White Sox things. So only way I've been getting my Bears thoughts off is on X and or Blue Sky. So, you know, sometimes those don't suffice. So I'm glad I got this platform.
Yeah. So we'll literally ask Herb about the Bears because they've been bad. So going into this, because I haven't kept track of everyone's thoughts on this, but going into this season, how did you feel about the choice that was made? You know, Herb Howard and I actually talked about this a couple days ago, the choice that was made of the two different paths, where path one is you roll with Justin, maybe you come up with some sort of bridge contract, you trade the number one pick, and you hopefully bolster your team, versus saying, you know what, there's a guy out there who's really special, let's make the pick, take the pick, and grow with Caleb Williams. Where were you on that?
I was on initially the Justin Fields is good enough to win with camp, and that you have a number one pick overall. You could trade that and get a king's ransom of a bunch of picks and help this team overall where they're deficient at line, both on defensive and offensive line. And once I usually use the quote from I use the quote from Proposition Joe, or I forgot his name, Cheese, where Cheese is like, you know, when it was my uncle, I was with my uncle. When it was Marlo, I was with him. Now it's somebody else. So when they switched from Justin Fields and went the Caleb Williams route, I was like, all right, I'm with Caleb Williams. I'm 100% behind him. But the thing is, I think that it would have been a very hard choice for a general manager to pass up a number one pick 2 years in a row. People already blame him for what CJ Stroud did in his rookie year. And I don't know if you guys look at his sophomore year.
Not great.
Not at all. So they already blame him for that. And if he would have passed on Caleb Williams, and you know, Caleb Williams somewhere else with proper coaching would have been the Caleb Williams we would have looked for.
Caleb Williams in Washington would have been problematic.
Like he would have been beasting, and you would have been like, oh, okay, that's a career move where you can't do if you're Ryan Poles. You cannot pass up what people said was a generational talent, and I can't fault him for making that choice. But the brave, like going out there move, making your team better move would have been to keep Justin, as you said, give him a bridge contract because you can't just have him on the fourth year of a deal with him being a lame duck and not picking up his fifth year. So you have to give him at least 2 or 3 years on that contract to extend him so he feels comfortable, the team feels comfortable. It seems like the players liked him, and the locker room was all about him, and most of the fans were about him. So I understand that that would have been the most unpopular move, but it would have been a brave move for me that would have propelled this team to better where they're at, because we've seen him operate under Matt Eberflus and a deficient offensive coordinator. He looked fine at times. Sometimes even looked pretty good. And I think his progression would have kept on going. And the 6 games he played this year in Pittsburgh were exactly the way you should use Justin Fields. Running a lot of boots, a lot of easy throws and things like that. But hindsight is 20/20. I think that Ryan Poles could have never done that. We would have been roasting him if he would have traded that pick away, even if it would have got him the king's ransom and gone on with Justin Fields.
When did you start to worry about this season?
Hmm. I think it was before the Hail Mary, like when they're playing Carolina, and I know eventually they blew those people out, but it seemed like they're doing like back and forth with a team that is not any good. Like eventually they got better and Bryce Young got better. But at that point where they're playing that team, they should have blown that team out early and often, and they let them hang around and stay around there. And beating Jacksonville in London, I think everybody got a false sense of this team is really good, like because you just came off of that Panthers game, and then you go to London, and everything is high. Everybody's feeling great. We're 4-2. We're feeling the vibe. And I know that the inflection point is the Hail Mary, but everybody talks about the play before the Hail Mary. And when he said in the post-game press conference, like, you can make mistakes. But when he said, I would change it, that was insignificant. I was like, there, right there. That's the spot where that guy cannot be my coach anymore. I thought he couldn't be the coach last year. And they got that false sense of Matt Nagy-ness where you win a couple games at the end of the year and the ownership and general manager's like, oh, my God, he brought the team back together even though they were bad. That type of false hope where it gave Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace more years than they deserve. And I would have fired him after the year two because you, as I think you use all the time, the common quote, it doesn't take a whole day to recognize sunshine. You knew he was bad and you brought him back because he was cheap and you had him on a, what, 5-year contract. You don't want to fire him after 2 years. But mostly I think that I knew it was in trouble when he explained that Hail Mary play before the game, the play before the Hail Mary play.
Why didn't you ever tell me and like us and our crew to hire Trace Armstrong as our agent? Because that seems to be the path to the riches. You get the long-term contract, you get all the stability that you want. Like we need to steak dinner boom with that man, because that seems to be the way to get yourself some long-term success and stability.
And that's the thing, like, people argue with me because I want Ryan Poles to be fired. And their main argument is that he didn't hire Matt Eberflus. That was a package deal. I say, why would you want somebody that was cool with that? Why would you want somebody who would go along with that plan as a general manager that other people tell him when he hits the door who his general manager is? I mean, it was a man, coach is going to be.
And he doubled down on it at the end of the season, too.
Yeah, either if it's the McCaskies or if it's your agent, Trace Armstrong. Like, either way, you are a puppet then. You are a person that's taking a job just because it's one of 32 instead of, I've earned this spot and I'll wait for the next one to come up if that's the conditions which I have to work under. Because I know as a general manager, I'm only judged by the people I put underneath me. And if I don't have control of this person and I don't know this person, and if this person is not a hot candidate, because when he was named Matt Eberflus, I was like, I've never heard of this person in my life before. And I'm not an astute NFL observer, but I watch the NFL enough to know who the people are who are upcoming.
Who the hot coordinators are.
And I never heard his name ever brought up. Kind of same thing with Matt Nagy when he was brought up. And then when he was kind of whispered and I watched that playoff game with the Chiefs, the last game he played, I was like, that's the guy? That's the guy we're putting our stake in our futures on with that offense? And he can't even get them moving? Okay, cool. And then I was like, this is not the right move for the Bears to have a general manager that believes in a coach that is Matt Nagy, or that is Matt Eberflus. I could not believe that he got an extra year to do what he did. And then it took him extra time to fire him where we already knew he was already gone. And the locker room knew he was already gone. And that's, I think, what a good general manager is. And I think he doesn't have this quality yet. A cutthroatness about yourself. We saw him on the Hard Knocks thing where he's like crying about Adrian Colbert. Cool, I get the connections, but you can't be attached to these players. You can't be. You got to be kind of detached from them so you can do your job properly. Same thing with Matt Nagy. Same thing with Tyreek Stevenson. You have to just set the tone in your culture and in your locker room that we will not accept anything less than what you have. And if you come up short, there'll be consequences to that, including firing. So I knew that Ryan Poles was not the guy when he took the job. And then he's doing the same thing Ryan Pace did too, Lawrence. Like, the first move he makes out of the gate is the Larry Ogunjobi move, where he can't pass a physical. Terrible. And then his first draft is two DBs. And then a 26-year-old wide receiver that really isn't a good wide receiver. Like,
yeah,
he was telling us from the jump, I'm not ready for this job. This job is too big for me. And so I know he'll probably get another year because the Bears are the Bears, but a 14-game losing streak and a 10-game losing streak, which will turn into 11-game losing streak, tells me all I need to know. And people are saying, well, you need to see a little bit more. Like, no, I don't. Like, by year three, you should see some upward mobility, and we're seeing going down. We're worse than when he started.
By year three, you shouldn't be in the same position that the Carolina Panthers are in. Like, you know? That's the thing that I can't let go of, where you go, wait, you did all of this, and everyone laughed at the Carolina Panthers, and everyone told you that, oh, well, they're a horribly run franchise, and look at how Poles took advantage of them. And then 2 years later, you look up, you're in this, like, they could finish ahead of you. Like, they could end up with a better record than you. And that, to me, is there's a lot of grounds for firing him. But that for me, is one of the things that I would be like, wow, we did all this. You got their best player in DJ Moore, and he's lesser here. He's lesser with Caleb than he was with Justin. Like, all of these moves that you've been making have been backwards. And I don't know, man. Let me ask you about this. There are a lot to choose from. There's a lot of losses to choose from inside of this losing streak. What's your least favorite loss and why?
The Patriots loss, by far. The Patriots are no damn good. We've seen this. If you turn on your TV this Saturday, you're going to see them get housed by the Chargers. The Chargers are good. They're not that good, but the Patriots came into Soldier Field after the Bears had gone out to Arizona and got absolutely annihilated by another mediocre team. Annihilated. They're not good. Kyler Gordon's not damn good. But then you come back, you're like, okay, cool. They have a
No, wait. I want to make sure because I don't want that to get clipped. Kyler Murray. Okay. Kyler Gordon is good.
My bad. Sorry. Kyler Murray, as Brad Evans calls him, Desert Dachshund.
The Desert Dachshund. I love that line.
Killed the Bears. And then you come back home. You're like, okay, that was a tough one. It's a game that we should have won, but we lost that game because we lost the Commanders game and we didn't have a proper, flushing of that game before we went to Arizona, and that lost us two games. Cool. Now we're coming back home for the first time in a long time. We've been on the road. We had the bye. We went to London. Now, sleep in our own beds, all good. Versus a mediocre team.
Some bums.
Should air them out. Yeah, we should air them out. No. What was it, 19-3? Like, that was a dismantling by a team in the Patriots that's no good. And at that point, I was like, where are we waiting for? Like, the Hail Mary play, I wanted him to be fired because of the ineptitude. Then you saw the Arizona game. You lost two games because you lost one. And then you lost a third game because you lost one. And now we're on game 10 because you lost one.
That's crazy.
The Patriots game was the game that I was just like, yeah, that's the worst loss of the year for me.
I think that, like, the Hail Mary is a shock, right? Like, that moment is a shock. And so you're like, okay, like, but that's a fluke. If you're a fan, you go, well, what are the odds of something like that happening? Like, that game is a fluke. You're right, though. Like, Eberflus talking about the play before the Hail Mary is, to me, one of the biggest indictments against him. Then you go, all right, well, you're going on the road, and at the time, Arizona was competing for the NFC West. They had an above or they were a 500 team, and then you go and you get pantsed on the road. Fine. You come back to this game where all of the things that you wanted this season was still in play, even with the heartbreaking loss to Washington, even with the loss to Arizona, it's all still in play. It's all in front of you. All you had to do was win that game against that team with that quarterback. And seeing them, like, I remember them talking about how they knew that Tyreek Stevenson has a penchant for peeking inside on play action. And they took advantage of it twice. And I go, wow, these other teams have the Bears scouted than the Bears have scouted themselves. And that trend continued with Green Bay. And then it continued with Minnesota. And you go, how are you guys not, like, what are you not doing as an organization and a staff where you can't figure out what other teams see when they look at you?
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, that would be my first thing going to a game plan. Yeah, I know I want to live off of my strengths, but I would have said, how would I defend my team? How would I go against my team? Cool. This is what they're going to attack. What are my weak spots that have been exploited on tape? And I know head coaches and maybe offensive coordinators, defense coordinators can't be doing that necessarily, but you have a staff full of good, hardworking coaches and TV and video people. You can have them pick up on your tendencies. Have some analytics people in the room and say, you know what? You're heavy on this. This is what they probably pick up on you. You should probably adjust in this game plan to counter that. And if they're looking for those things, maybe Tyreek Stevenson looks into the backfield, but you have a guy over the top or something like that. You have something where you're baiting that team because they know that you know that they know that they have you scouted properly. And I think you always talk about it, self-scouting. You should know exactly how to scout yourself to win the game that you're playing that week and reverse engineer how to do offensive game plans and defensive game plans against yourself so you can be the best that you can. It seems like every week they have that little neuralizer from Men in Black.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this is a new week. No one remembers all our stuff that we've done that we've put on tape. Cool. We'll still do that little screen pass out to the outside and no one will block on the outside and DJ Moore will get tackled 6 yards behind the line. Or we'll do that fumble Ruski play that the Packers did against us, and then the Lions will use it against us again. Like, and I thought this past Thursday, I thought that the Seattle Seahawks were doing that again with Geno Smith, but he just got tripped up.
Yeah,
My God, they're doing it again. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers did it to the Bears again, because the goal is to embarrass the Bears.
That's right.
They know they can beat them, and it's that they're alley-ooping in the first quarter, in the first half. And I'm sorry to bring it up, Lawrence. It's that UConn game versus DePaul.
Oh, come on, man.
Back in the day.
Come on,
Where the Huskies were just like, man, we know we can beat these people. And just ooping every 5 seconds.
It was
and
so
And Dark
upsetting.
Tucker was going to get his, too, though.
Darquavius Tucker, you better believe it. I think he's still playing somewhere overseas or just retired somewhere, dunking on people. I wonder if I know that, you know, they do scout team and all that stuff, and there's a limited amount of practice times you can have, but I wonder if opposition research might be a growth industry inside of the football, like, infrastructure, where you are bringing in an offensive assistant, a defensive assistant that is really, like, going after your team. Like, is really, like – this is what I would attack. Like, you bring Norv Turner in and say, all right, Norv, look at our defense. Tell me what you would, like, attack. And then take that stuff, like, to heart. Like, I wonder if that's a growth of the coaching staff that is available to people. And because ideally you want just the staff that you have to be able to do that. But there's a lot to do. Like, when you're prepping a team to get ready and you're scripting a practice. But I do wonder if you could, if that's where teams could find, like in the margins, a win here or a win there, where we really scouted ourselves. We didn't do some bullshit like we're asking the scout team to do exactly what we want to do so that our guys feel good. No, we went after our ones because to show them what their tendencies are and then it's how they're going to be attacked. You know, maybe that's something that teams will learn to do and continue to try to get better and get wins.
I mean, think of what the whole mantra back in the day was. It's like, you want your practices to be harder than your games. So it seems like in NFL PA has pared down some of the practices you can do for player safety, and that's understood. But you want that practice to be like the hardest thing you do that week. So Sunday comes, you're like, I've seen this look, as you're talking about, and you can adjust to it in real time, and you practice in real time. So you can feel it, how you can do it in the game. I mean, all the greats practice in fast motion. They don't practice in slow motion. They don't just do walkthroughs. They do, let me see what my footsteps will be. Let me see how fast I can throw the ball. Like Peyton Manning, perfectionist, things like that. I think that Matt Eberflus and his staff didn't get his team prepared for what the other teams are going to be doing, because it seems like they're always surprised by something. Something always comes up. Oh, we weren't expecting that. How? This team has every game on tape. You should watch them
like,
once in a while.
I was expecting it. Why weren't you expecting it?
Yeah. It's not that hard.
I was expecting Minnesota to use a lot of play action. I don't even coach for the Bears.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know what they're doing up there. How it is. It's not just a single coach. It's the conditions of that team. Like, I know people can blame the McCaskies, but they're not in the practices. I mean, maybe it's the people they're hiring to do it, and just it's the sameness that keeps on happening, because this is the same thing that happened under Matt Nagy, the same thing that happened under John Fox, the same thing that happened under Trestman. And it's so maddening. And you can say, in some periods, offensive-wise, the same thing that happened under Lovey, but his defense has always came to play. So, like, think about people. I see people online recently clamoring for Matt Nagy. And I was like, just because he's better than the worst doesn't mean he was good.
Facts.
Like, he had two games over 500. Smooth. Awesome. But you saw it. He had a limiting factor. He was not a head coach to me. And people are clamoring for mediocre coaches in the NFL just because they're better than Matt Eberflus. I keep on hearing that you should go out and hire Mike Vrabel. Why? What did he do in Tennessee that you said, yes, that's what I want. Exactly what I want. Like, I think he won, if I'm quoting Danny Parkins right, 6 games in his last 2 years?
Yeah, he looks like football, Herbie, and he's a disciplinarian, and that's what that's all about.
He's our Nick Sticker. No, he's not. He's going to be some coach that's going to get hired in this cycle, and you'll see in 2 to 3 years, he'll be fired again.
Yep, it's true.
Like, I don't know if you're going to ask me in the future, but the thing is, his style, like, I like a coach that's done the job before, even though I think the Bears should go with just the best candidate overall. Like, because I think being a head coach is a hard job to do.
Yep.
And learning the job and learning just to be the CEO, be the guy who is delegating power to his offensive and defensive coordinator. And you are just the head of the ship that has his battle standard, and your lieutenants follow your battle standard type of thing. And that's hard to learn. Like, if you're the Ben Johnsons of the world, you've never done that. You've always been in control of your offense. You don't care about the defense. And if you're a head coach, you're stepping into that. And that's a learning curve that I don't want the Bears to have to go through, because they're already on a second year or will be second year quarterback with a different offense in his second year. And there'll be a lot of things he has to learn. That's why I like a person that's done the job. Maybe they failed at their first job. Bill Belichick failed at his first job. Pete Carroll failed at his first job. Andy Reid didn't fail at his first job, but he got fired. And they went on to their second and third jobs, and they became better because they understood what was needed in that first time that they didn't do, and they've learned from that, and they've continued on. And that's why I wouldn't be surprised or disappointed if they didn't get Ben Johnson and they downshifted to like a Cliff Kingsbury.
Is that who you want?
No, I want Ben Johnson 100%.
Okay.
But I know the Bears are the Bears. So they're going to mess that up somehow. It's going to be too much money, too much responsibility. Ryan Poles is still here. Ben Johnson wants somebody who's more stable, which another reason why you should fire Ryan Poles, because you should have your general manager and your court and your coach
aligned
in lockstep.
Yep.
And if that means that Ben Johnson comes in and brings one of the assistant general managers in Detroit that he likes with him, smooth, but don't mess it up. But I would love to have like a person like Cliff Kingsbury, who's on a, who'll be on a second NFL job, already has coaching experience in head coaching experience in college too, to varying degrees. And I would want him to say, okay, you can move Caleb to the next level, which I believe he would easily do. But also he knows the mechanisms of being a head coach, even though he wasn't a great head coach in Arizona.
Well, Herbie, this was great, man. I appreciate you for being on the podcast and talking Bears with me. And we should do it again, I think, at some point, like once they make a hire. I'm going to go through and do a whole list of candidates that I like on this YouTube page and on the podcast. But I'm so glad that you were available, and this is always fun, and people love hearing from you.
I appreciate you having me on, Lawrence, and always talking Bears is always a good time. And we just got to get it right one of these days. And I hope that the McCaskies and the Kevin Warrens of the world have the bravery to do what is right and fire Ryan Poles and get the right general manager and head coach in here, because this team, you could see the talent's way too good for 4-13, which they're going to be.
It's really ridiculous. Have a wonderful rest of your day, sir. Tell Ziggy that I said, hey, I see he wants to be a part of all of this, and that's fine. I'm here for it. And stay out of trouble.
I will try.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.